outside. We couldn't see it from our vantage point.
Wrestling fans, and welcome back to Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. This is Monday, January 23rd, 2017. I'm Joe Murata, and I'm glad to be back with you, Mr. Michael Quinn.
Glad to be back with you.
What do you got? What are you drinking there?
I got a Swiss Miss, the new official sponsor of Our Vantage Point. Not really, but we're Swiss Miss. We're coming for you.
We're coming for you, Swiss Miss. Folks, we're happy to be back with you here on the Place to Be Nation. Perhaps you're listening to us there.
We're in the place?
We're in that place.
Okay, they're right there.
They've invited us in a few weeks ago. We've been sitting around this place to be.
I've been enjoying their guest room a lot.
It's a really nice guest room. Good facilities around here in this
very
place.
Very good. The reading material in the bathroom is
excellent.
Excelente.
Folks, so if you haven't checked out the Place to Be Nation yet, I encourage you to do so. There's some great podcasts there.
Got some good
great
stuff
content
over there.
And we're happy to be a member of that family.
Yeah. If you like hearing about wrestling like this show,
yeah,
you can hear more about wrestling over there.
All kinds of wrestling. Of course, I'd like to remind you, you can find us on the Twitter at OVP Podcast. You can email us if you still use the email.
www.email.web. What is the email we use?
Ours is ovppodcast@gmail.com. That is ovppodcast@gmail.com. Quinn, I understand where some other places you can tell
there
people
maybe. There are various other locales you can find us on the internet.
On the internet, yeah.
These are all on the internet, everyone.
Right, not in the library.
Yeah, you can't mail away for like a cassette tape of this podcast, but you can get it over at iTunes.
Yes.
Google Play Music.
Yes, right.
And Stitcher.
Where else?
Blueberry, fm.player.web.feet. Yeah, I agree, gorilla. And of course, OVPpodcast.com.
That's the
central HQ of
that's
OVP
right.
Podcast.
Everything there, including a link to that video site, uvideo.com. What's it called?
YouTube.
Yeah,
yes,
that's
there's
right.
a link
yeah.
to our YouTube. Right. We got some promos up if you want to have some visual aids.
Yeah, visual aids are always nice. It's kind of like a best of, like a little 15-minute clip.
You know,
different videos.
One day we got to get Joey Styles to be our webmaster over there because
I don't really want to have anything to do with him right now.
I mean, I'm just doing it myself. I'm not much of a master. I'm like a web,
apprentice,
or what would it be in Japan, like if you were being
a young boy?
No. Like if Mr. Fuji was teaching me, I'd be the learner. Mustard Fuji. Yes. If Fuji was teaching me, I would be the guy learning on the webmaster front.
Oh, folks, that Swiss Miss is really giving Quinn a run for his money over there.
It's making me run wild. Running wild here on the podcast, in the place to be.
In the place to be. I also want to remind you, this upcoming Thursday, the one, the only godfather of the Smarks, Scott Keith, will be back with us for the Royal Rumble special.
Oh, my favorite match of the year, and Scott's going to be here to help
us
out with that.
That's right. Scott will be there with us, flying in from Saskatoon, right?
I thought we were doing that live from somewhere else. Didn't we say that?
I don't know.
I don't remember where we said, but
we'll be talking about some memories.
Japan.
We're doing
the Royal Rumble show with Scott.
Oh, yeah?
In Japan.
I didn't know that. Yeah, would Alfred arrange that?
We got to cover the Japanese Royal Rumble. That's just a Royal Rumble in reverse, but it's just a battle royal because it's in reverse.
I think we're going to start the show now. The first segment is called One Thing I Miss. And Quinn, I think you'll like this.
Oh, will I?
This is something I miss, folks, and it's not ever going to happen again, I don't think. I can't foresee a time where this happens again.
Well, that's a sad note to start on.
I'm sorry. But I figure we can reminisce and talk about, you know, maybe our enjoyment of this or you know, some of the logistics of it or maybe the benefits of it.
Okay.
One thing I miss from the 80s and 90s, early 90s, is televised house shows.
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, it kind of happens now. I wouldn't say it doesn't. Remember, like, that, like, weird thing that was on the network where Brock Lesnar beat up Kofi Kingston?
Yeah, I understand that. But I'm talking about back in the 80s, folks, you would have monthly televised shows.
You're talking about the old MSG shows.
From the MSG, But not only that, Quinn, they had the Boston Garden was televised on pretty much a monthly basis.
Yes.
The Philadelphia Spectrum was televised.
And something up in Canada, probably, right?
There was always Toronto was televised. Sometimes the St. Louis was televised. Los Angeles was televised.
You know what's interesting about those shows?
Yeah.
Is the, like, sometimes they have, like, weird local hosts. Like,
that is one. That was the. See, that, this is why we are the fastest growing weekly episodic retro wrestling audio podcast in the world, Quinn.
Yeah, why? Because
we just feel each other.
Okay, yeah. Well, why? Is that where you were going with that?
That was
going
to be the next thing I said, is there was a local flavor to some of these.
Yeah, you got the Duke of Dorchester.
He was always there. He was only in Boston.
He sucked.
Oh, I just blew it out a little bit.
Oh, he was terrible.
Yeah, he's pretty bad.
But one thing I was going to mention about Philly is, I don't know if you remember him as much, Quinn, but Dick Graham always hosted Philly.
This is Dick Graham along with my good friend and former pro wrestler, Lord Alfred Hayes, he's aboard.
He was an older gentleman wrestling announcer.
I don't really remember him. I kind of, the name sounds familiar. I remember Ron Trongard.
Rod Trongard from the AWA.
Rod.
And hello again, everyone, from the sports mecca of the world. And a happy President's Day, everyone. I'm Rod Trongard, along with Lord Alfred Hayes.
Yeah. He would migrate over to WWF for a year or two.
Now, that was in the Canadian market.
No, he did MSG.
Okay.
He was part of some horrible car crash commentary teams like Billy Graham and Lord Alfred Hayes. It was terrible.
Anytime you had the Duke and like Lord Alfred or something like that, like some weird combination.
Lord Alfred. If Gorilla wasn't there, Lord Alfred is, or Mooney. Lord Alfred's hard to listen
to.
Did
Mean Gene do any of those? Like
he
was
some
the
MSG.
Commentator, not just the interviewer.
Well, what a night tonight. I don't mind telling you, I am very much looking forward to this gigantic $50,000 battle royal.
So I wanted to just explain a few things about this. So folks, basically what you would get is in your local, you know, territory or whatever. Let's say you lived in the New York area.
Right.
Or an area that had the MSG network.
Yeah.
It was a cable network.
No, this wasn't a territory system. This was like the WWF's,
right,
like, mini territories or whatever.
And what they would do is they would run a card, 2-3 hour show,
mm-hmm,
on the MSG network in the New York area, obviously. And you'd have, this is kind of how they were. They were better than your average episode of like Superstars in terms of star attraction, usually.
They were like an enhanced Saturday Night's Main Event.
There you go.
Yeah.
It was not pay per view caliber, but you'd usually have some kind of hot feud.
There would be a blow off or two.
Yeah. You'd get some good Hogan matches out of that.
Yeah. I really like them. A lot of them are on the network, actually.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, you know what I like about them is sometimes when they would have feuds, like, for example, I would always get upset, and I know we brought this one up, I don't know why this one keeps coming up, but I'd always get annoyed that, you know how Piper always had this big problem with Ted DiBiase? I'm like, why didn't they fight each other at pay-per-view?
They did at MSG, though, didn't they?
But they did at MSG.
They had
a big blow-off at MSG, which is just, it's weird. Why would you, that seems like that was the central feud, not like Virgil.
Yeah, I know.
As much.
And, you know, out of these MSG shows, folks, I guess, you know, WrestleMania 1, if you really look at it, it was shot, like, if you visually look at WrestleMania 1, that's how the house shows looked.
Well, that's, yeah, it looks like their monthly MSG show, just, like, enhanced because it's got celebrities, basically.
And better matches, higher caliber matches.
Yeah, it's a super card.
It's a super card. But these monthly MSG shows, I love watching these. Sometimes I actually fall asleep to them. Yes, I'm serious, because there's tons of them on YouTube, also, the ones that aren't on the network.
Yeah.
And I was watching one the other day from July of 87,
right,
just random summer MSG show, and it had Lord Alfred and Gorilla on commentary.
I could dig that commentary.
I love that, yeah, and I love this kind of stuff, because you get matches that they might pick a few of them and throw them on to primetime.
Right.
But you get the full card. It's like, this is your wrestling card, and it's like 2 hours,
right,
of action.
I always love, this is another thing I love about them, is that they have their own openings. It's,
yes,
like,
they do.
This is on the MSG network.
Absolutely.
It's like, and all this, like, space and all this, you know,
space, yeah,
something with space and lines going through the air.
Sure. And of course, they televised, like we were saying, they televised Boston Garden shows in the same vein.
Yeah, that was on NESN, if I
recall. NESN. And on the Prism Network was the Philadelphia Spectrum shows.
Okay. Yeah.
And they did a bunch of different networks. I haven't seen all of them, obviously.
Now, did you always notice that the rings were somewhat different at each of them? Like,
yes.
I remember the Boston one had that weird stair with the railing on it.
The Boston Boston one had the weird stair with the railing. It also had that very distinct parquet floor, you know, that wood floor
and
for the basketball.
The Spectrum, the middle of the ring had like a Spectrum logo on it.
It did.
Like,
it absolutely did.
Which is weird.
And like I said, for the Spectrum shows, Dick Graham was always the announcer. Sometimes they'd send Monsoon over there with them.
Yeah.
But you'd get like a weird grab bag of announcers. And this is one of the things I like about the televised house shows, Quinn. There's character to
there
these
is.
Different
each location
networks.
MSG, like I was saying, with the way it looked is like the MSG one is you always had the distinct middle entranceway in the background.
You did, and you also had the MSG security guards that would walk the guys down the short aisle.
The other thing was the interviews would take place almost right in gorilla position.
Correct.
That was another thing.
And a lot of the times they'd show shots of the people walking from the backstage. Remember we were just watching that show with the Bull Nakano and Dump Matsumoto.
Yo, that blew
your mind.
That blew, boom. Like, I didn't know Bull Nakano was like a punk rocker in the WWF in the mid-80s. What?
Folks, any tweet that you notice on our Twitter about Bull.
That got a bunch of retweets. Did you see that?
Yeah, that's like, always from me. I mean, I'm not taking credit for it. I'm absolving Quinn of it.
That's fine. I know you're a big Bull Nakano fan.
I love Bull Nakano. Love you, Bull.
Yeah. And that's what you meant about, like, it's different.
It's like, different. You'll see stuff that they didn't even put on primetime.
Yeah.
You know?
But just a bizarre, like, I had no... And there was another women's...
Yeah, there was other Japanese women at that show.
Match.
This was maybe 86, right?
Yeah. I don't know if that was Vince, like, trying to capitalize on the jumping bomb angels.
I don't know if
that
was.
Maybe kind of wanting to expand it, and then it just didn't work.
I haven't looked into it enough. But, folks, as the 80s started to end. What happened with these televised house shows is the market for them kind of dried up. House show attendance
collapsed.
Yeah, started to fall off. So basically what you ran into is I think the Garden stopped televising in 89, I want to say.
Well, there was that weird Garden one that wasn't televised.
The Boston Garden, I mean.
Oh, no,
89.
I meant Madison Square Garden. What's that one with the Undertaker on the picture on the network?
Well,
that late one.
Sure, here's what I was going to say. So the Boston Garden stopped televising around 89. Spectrum, I think, right around the same time. MSG held on until 92.
Yeah.
And I love those early, like, I love the 91, 92 ones, Quinn.
Yeah.
Because it's Gorilla and Bobby.
It's great. Yeah.
Those are fun.
Because, they bring their TV crew for that.
Yes.
It's like a real thing.
And you get a peek into, like, the in-between era, like, you have stuff from, like, right after Royal Rumble 92, but before WrestleMania. So you get some development
there. The Rockers,
there.
Their transition from Michaels becoming heel is, like, part of the MSG show, which is cool.
It is. And in fact, Michaels has his George Gershwin, you know, Rhapsody in Blue music at one of those MSG shows.
That's in 92. But
January,
In the December of 91 when, or October or something, they keep hinting the breakup,
Too. I think it's October or November.
Yeah.
Yep, okay. Absolutely. So MSG's last televised one was, I believe, March 23rd, 92.
Now, what's that weird 1996 one? Was that even on TV? What is that?
So I'm sitting at home in March of 1997. I'm looking on the pay-per-view. What was the TV Guide channel? But before it was called that, the preview channel, I think.
That's what it was called before. Yes,
on Comcast.
The preview channel. Now it's Pop TV, but...
Yeah, but no one watches it.
Yeah. Well, if they like Schitt's Creek, that's the name of the show. That's not explicit. It's S-C-H-I-T-T-S.
I have no words for that.
The same network as TNA, by the way.
They're on the TNA TV is Guide Schitt's Creek, all right. Yeah. So I'm sitting at home in March of 1997. I'm 11 years old then, and I'm watching the preview channel. What do I see coming up scrolling through on the MSG network?
Did it lock in? You know how it used to lock?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Every like few seconds
Every
it would
three,
lock.
Every three, it locks in. Locked in and you saw it.
And it says WWF Wrestling.
And
I'm like, what is this? So I turn it on.
So you saw that. I never saw that until later.
And it's an MSG show, folks. March of 1997, like a week or two before WrestleMania 13. And it shot just like nothing ever changed from like the 80s or 90s.
It's a weird show because it's like, here's the regular, like, you'd see on Raw at that time period, but it's shot like it's MSG from 89.
Exactly.
Like, and it's bizarre.
It is. It's really weird, and that's the last time they did something in that vein. I don't know why it was a one-time
There's
only.
There's one other one from that era, and it's that weird one when they were in India or whatever that was.
Kuwait.
Kuwait.
That whole thing is something to behold. Let me tell you about that.
It's a mess there.
So, Quinn, overall, what are your thoughts on televised house shows? Do you think they added to a viewing experience back then? Do you think they helped?
I do, because I think that in the area that was seeing them, I think it would. It's a good refresher of, like, yeah, we didn't forget about you, and, like, it's just, it's nice. It's nice little hype thing. And
it is.
And I don't feel like now with the network, it feels more than ever they would have the opportunity to do that, because they don't have to, there's no television barriers. They can
right.
just, they could just, you know, take a camera or two with them,
mm-hmm.
have two angles and a backstage thing, and just, if they're gonna be doing these shows, you know, what is it, 4 days a week?
Yeah.
Put some of them on TV.
That's what I would figure. Like,
They don't need high production value. You don't need to make the entrance all stupid like on Raw. Like, you just have what they take.
That's exactly right.
Just have what they have with them.
One of the things I liked about it was the character.
Now, NXT is doing that. They take cameras to their house shows.
Yes,
and
they
sometimes
do.
They'll show you matches that will happen at their house shows. And the camera angles are limited.
When we saw them in Asbury Park, they had a little camera.
They actually have two, it looks like.
Yep.
But that's it. I think there's a handheld and a stationary.
I think that's exactly right. And they had a bullshit set. Remember? They had like a TV. That was the Titantron. It was like just a TV.
That's the NXT one. That WWE is a little fancier, but it's not much better if you've seen it. If you actually, what's interesting now that the social media exists, the WWE actually takes pictures of every single one of their house shows, posts them up on the internet the night they appear, and then they, like, put a hashtag for that house show so people can discuss it. But what's nice
about that
is if you go to that house show, you can always look up hashtag and you have memories. It's like, oh, I was at that, you know?
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the modern equivalent now of televising house shows. Because honestly, as much as I'd like to see something like that come back, I don't think there's an audience for it, Quinn. I think the network will always need content. The network's always going to need content.
Even if not a lot of people watch it, it's still an advertising point. Get exclusive matches on the network.
But they won't even dump the rest of their old content up there. Primetime is still stuck in 87.
Now, not to go too long here, but...
We're fine.
But the thing with the reason why it actually takes them long is because they actually put true post-production into every retro thing they put up. Believe it or not, they actually like old school mentality where it's got to be a finished product.
What are they doing to these?
So someone's scrubbing through it, making sure there's nothing offensive or whatever, and the tape's not shitty. There's no weird like problems with it.
Defects, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
So like there is a guy at in Connecticut, like that's why it's taking so long. So, like, as you see it go up, it seems to me that there's a guy that's just he's one focused on one show in the past right now, and he's going and he's scrubbing through every day. But
stuff is
going up.
Stuff does go up. Yeah. Yes, I know.
Even like in the last month, there's been new updated stuff.
There has.
Yeah.
So overall, Quinn, I miss the idea of these televised house shows, but I think you put together a nice little recipe there, what you just said, where how they take all the pictures now of their house shows, they hashtag them, people can hashtag them, and they film everything just in case.
Kind of. Not everything.
No, but I know, but they at least get some kind of documentation of everything, right?
Somewhat, yeah.
I think that's good enough, as much as I miss the televised house shows and this is a small little nugget for you. That was kind of how it felt. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I would love that small little nugget to maybe have a weekly feature on the network. Here's one of the house shows from this week.
Yeah, that or even like a match or something.
Yeah.
That's what we were saying, I think, a couple of weeks ago about a show like Primetime.
Yeah, a show like Primetime is very, no pun intended, but it's very prime. It's a very prime time for a primetime kind of show.
Would people watch it, though?
I think they would if they could. Here's the thing, is if they could get a creative commentary crew together. Like, I love Graves and Phillips just because I hate Phillips, but I love that Graves shits on him the whole time. If they could have like a nice little, like they're sitting in the control room and it's just the heel commentator, like acting ridiculous the whole time. Like that, and then here's the match or whatever.
So it's basically like prime time.
Yeah, basically.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll be back right after this.
Madison Square Garden Network presents the World Wrestling Federation. Hello, everyone. I'm Gorilla
come on soon along with Bobby the Brain Heenan here in Madison Square Garden. Brain, another golden opportunity for the Macho Man Randy Savage to once again get his hands on Jake the Snake Roberts.
Is Miss Elizabeth in the garden?
She certainly is.
Well, I want to see what's going to happen to the Hitman when he gets in the ring with the Undertaker. I think you're going to have to call him the Dead Man.
All kinds of big bouts coming down here in Madison Square Garden. Let's get things underway. Let's go to our ring announcer, Howard Finkel.
Why?
You're listening to Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast, the fastest growing weekly episodic retro wrestling audio podcast in the world.
And welcome back to Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. Glad to have you with us this Monday, January 23rd, 2017.
What a Monday it is.
What a Monday it is. Quinn, how's that Swiss mistreating you?
Oh, it's done. I housed it. It was very Swiss, and it was very miss.
Now, is it Switzerland miss? Is that what it is?
I think so. I think the Sound of Music ladies, like, wandering around in the cup.
The Von Trapp family is involved in this somehow.
Yeah, they're in this show now, immortalized in episode 15.
Folks, again, glad to have you with us. Glad to be in the place to be. They've been very accommodating to us here. Great facilities, great green room. It's been nice here.
The faculties are good.
Yeah, the faculties. Yeah. Nice coffee machine.
Yeah.
And of course, you can check us out on Twitter at OVP Podcast. We love hearing from you.
Yeah, we love it.
If you request something, we will do our best to get to it.
We really try to get back to the people who talk to us.
We really do. We really mean it.
Yeah, if we miss you, we're really sorry, but we actually really try. I have it open on my phone one whole time.
Yeah, so do I.
I like to see what you fans have to say.
I do too, and if we Swiss miss you, that's Quinn's fault.
No, sorry.
Ha ha.
Yeah.
So, folks, we're going to get right into our next segment here, and this is going to go to Mr. Quinn. Quinn's going to tell me, or he's going to ask me, I should say, what I think of something. I don't know what it is, in case you're new to the show here, folks. I don't know. We don't know ahead of time.
We don't tell each other, because then it wouldn't be as good.
It wouldn't be as funny. So, Quinn, what do you got?
Well, this week, I got a good one.
Okay.
Because I think in the last couple years, it's been more hit or miss. But I want to get a general discussion. What do you think of the WWE Hall of Fame?
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Now, what I have here for us is a list of Hall of Famers.
Beautiful.
Now, we kind of know the original ones, right? I mean, the first was
Andre the Giant. They opened the Hall of Fame, actually, just for him in 93, right after he died.
He's so big.
Yeah.
They had a whole year to encompass his entire 7'4" frame.
And then from 94 to 96, they did these very casual,
like, banquets.
Banquets. And it wasn't fully televised. They filmed it, and you would see clips here and there. And in those years, everyone that went in, for the most part, was very deserving. You had your Gorilla Monsoons, your Arnold Skolins, etc.
And I can give you some of them.
Go ahead.
Skolin, in 94, we had Skolin.
Yep.
Brazil.
Bobo Brazil,
Bobo
sure.
Bobo Brazil. The Nature Boy, the first champion.
Buddy Rogers.
Buddy Rogers, yeah. Chief J. Strongmo, I don't know how deserving.
He sucks.
Yeah, he sucks.
That guy sucks.
Yeah,
he's no Wahoo McDaniel, let me tell you.
He's the fake Wahoo McDaniel.
He blows.
You want to know, by the way, you want to know who inducted him?
Yeah.
Tatanka.
Fuck that. That
now,
whole thing.
Yeah, now it all makes
from
sense.
From the Action Zone.
Yeah, it all makes sense, right?
From last week, jeez.
Yeah. Classy Freddie Blassie.
Totally
definitely
deserves to be in.
Gorilla.
Absolutely.
Now, this one, I have no clue who this guy is.
Who is it?
I hate to say it, but I don't. James Dudley.
He was a promoter, I think.
Now, is this what the Dudley boys know?
Shut up.
Yeah, I don't. I've never heard of him. I was like,
I believe he was a
is he
promoter.
Devon's uncle?
Will like, you? But,
okay, so 1995 now. This was the first year. I remember this one.
Yep. Who do we got?
Antonio Rocca.
Was he a big deal? I don't know much
I don't
about
know.
Him.
Guess who inducted him?
Chuck Norris.
Diesel. What?
Fuck.
I'll just say some of the inductions if they strike me.
Yeah, if it's notable, sure.
Big Cat Ernie Ladd.
He deserves it.
George Animal Steel. This did they really need this induction?
Who did it?
Oh, God, it's really bad. It almost, like, is pooping on George Steel.
Who
like,
was it?
Doink the Clown.
Are you fucking serious? And it was, like, 95 Doink, so it wasn't good. It wasn't Matt Bourne.
Yeah. Ivan Putski, of course, inducted by Scott Putski.
He sucked.
But that makes sense.
But Ivan Putski is amazing.
Yeah, he is. I like Ivan Putski a lot. Very
totally,
deserving.
Totally.
Moolah.
Definitely.
And obviously, Alondra Blaze inducted her.
Fine.
Yeah. The Grand Wizard.
Yeah, he should be in.
Slaughter inducted him.
Bob Slaughter.
Pedro Morales.
Yes.
Inducted by Savio Vega.
Absolutely should be in.
Okay. Now we 96? Go to 96. Okay. Baron Mikel Cicluda?
No, that guy was a jobber. That's like putting Barry Horowitz in.
Yeah.
Who inducted him?
Gorilla.
Oh, well, here he is.
Oh, here he is, that piece of trash. That's what he would say.
Fuck that.
Now, this guy, the next one, he should have been inducted in like the first year because, to be honest with you, I think that this man is like one of the singular reasons why they like ever got it, made it big.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Lou Albano.
Captain Lou Albano.
How did he not get in the first year?
I know. Like, I know he's ridiculous, but if you know, like, how the history went with him and his contacts.
We went over this with the Rock and Wrestling Connection and Cyndi Lauper.
They would not be where they were. They would not even be a company if it wasn't for this guy.
Plus, he was a stalwart. I mean, that guy drew the money. Hell yeah. What else we got?
This guy inducted him, Joe Franklin. Who the hell is that?
No idea.
Okay. Johnny Rods.
How?
Okay, no. I'm going to disagree with you on that.
You are the only person I've ever known to defend Johnny Rods as persistently and emphatically as you do.
Well, because he's trained a lot of people.
Who?
Didn't he train Mick Foley?
No.
Who?
Dominic DiNucci trained Foley. Oh,
there was somebody he trained that was important.
Bullshit.
But, okay, the other thing is that I'm a softie for jobbers, and he's like one of the big, like one of the jobbers I would say is deserving of the Hall of Fame.
He was also very unpredictable.
He was. Killer Kowalski.
Yep.
Inducted by Triple Horse. Well, I mean, he did train him.
Yeah, he did. No, that's good.
Pat Patterson.
How the fuck was he not in the first
Throw
one?
Him over the fucking
Throw him
rope.
Over the fucking rope. How was he not in the first
we'll
All of
We'll be covering games? Him in the Royal Rumble.
Oh, whatever. Hell yeah.
Yeah. You know who inducted him?
Vince?
Brett.
You know, I'd like to say, when you talk about the wrestling...
Yeah. This one's weird.
What?
I can't believe... I thought this one was earlier.
What?
Vincent J. McMahon.
Yeah, I remember him going in 96.
By Shane McMahon, not... Vince. Isn't there
Vince doesn't like to be involved in the Hall of Fame.
Isn't there a rule that Vince doesn't like do it unless like it's requested or something?
He inducted Blassie.
Okay.
That I know.
Okay.
But yeah, you're right. Vince is very rarely involved in the Hall of
the
Fame.
The Valiants.
They should
now,
be in.
Now
yeah.
that we have seen what they could do.
I mean, Johnny V sucks, but they were a
but
big deal.
But as a tag team.
They were great.
And the Boogie Woogie, he's great.
Mm-hmm. Like, they were great. They
were ahead
be
of
in.
Their time doing the 96 one. Okay, so now we jump to 94. This is where...
You mean 2004.
I'm sorry, 2004.
This is and where this they is started where, to get over the top with everything.
Okay, this is...
But this is a good class, if I remember.
The first one is good. Okay, so, Big John Studd.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Fine.
Don Morocco.
Definitely.
Yes. Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Absolutely, I love him.
Harley Race.
Harley Race.
Yeah, Harley Race.
Fine. Oh, wait, Quinn, can you just tell me?
What?
Folks, Quinn has a personal grudge against Harley Race. Quinn, can you quickly explain this story?
Now, I'm not begrudging his Hall of Fame induction.
No, he should be in. But, Quinn, what's your personal problem
personal
with him?
My personal grudge is that I was at a Ring of Honor show in,
2008 or something,
six,
right?
Six. Seven, I don't know, sometime around there. And I was waiting in line outside the Manhattan Center, and this is before... It was a big... This is before, like, Ring of Honor was always there. This was, like, maybe the first or second Manhattan Center show.
This might have been their debut there, right?
Yeah. And I was there, and we're waiting in line, and the temperature is, like, well below freezing. And it is so lousy out, and we're all waiting in this line outside. And I'm telling you, like, we're not early. Like, this is, like, when the show is supposed to start. And so we're waiting, and then all of a sudden, I look down the street, and Harley Race is toddling down the fucking street, and he just cuts the whole fucking line, and he just walks the fuck in while we're all, like, freezing our asses off.
The best part of this story, folks, is everyone else is like, oh, it's Harley Race, and Quinn was, like, all pissed.
I was mad, because it was freezing. So fuck you, Harley Race, you big heel. You had to cut me in the line.
Who else we got?
Anyway, next we have Jesse the Body, obviously.
Totally, absolutely.
Yep. More for a commentator, but...
Yeah, he sucked in the ring.
Yeah, he was terrible. Junkyard Dog.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that. Yep. He was a big deal.
Sergeant Slaughter.
Bob
definitely.
Slaughter, definitely.
The superstar Billy Graham.
Yes, that is.
Yes, that is. Yeah, the master of the poster right there.
Yeah.
Tito Santana.
Definitely. Yeah.
Bobby the Brain.
I wish Monsoon was here.
Yeah, Bobby the Brain, you can't.
I wish Monsoon was here.
One of the best speeches
he should have been in 93. Like
one of the best Hall of Fame speeches ever was by him.
And now this is where the celebrity wing comes into play.
Is it Pete Rose?
Pete Rose.
That's a great celebrity
to
put in.
Yep, that's a good one. I still don't see Regis on this list, but...
How about it?
Yeah. Okay, 2005.
Okay.
The Hulkster brother.
Absolutely.
Yep, without question. Roddy Piper.
Absolutely.
Cowboy Bob Orton?
Yeah.
Now, are we starting to veer with Orton?
I think Orton is... He was part of the WrestleMania 1 angle.
Yeah. This was like the WrestleMania 1 Hall of Fame people. Like, it, honestly, yeah. I'll list the rest. Jimmy Hart.
Yeah, he should be in.
Nikolai Volkoff.
Yeah.
Mr. Wonderful and the Iron Sheik. These are all like, this is the WrestleMania 1 like version, I think.
It sounds that way.
Yeah.
Iron Sheik should be in. I guess Orndorff. I don't like Orndorff, but I guess.
You seem to have a problem with Nikolai Volkoff. Old Pennybacks himself.
I mean, it wasn't that good.
I think he was with the company for like a really long time, though.
That doesn't make him good.
I agree, but okay, 2006.
Yeah.
Bret the Hitman Hart.
Yep, I remember that. I was really excited for that one.
Now, Eddie Guerrero. This was the posthumous. You know how I don't say that, right?
Yes. Posthumous.
I'll just say posthumous.
After it was funny.
Yeah. It wasn't funny that time.
Stop it.
Mean Gene.
Give me a break. Yeah, of course.
Yep. Sensational Sherry.
Love it. Love her speech. Love everything about her. Absolutely.
Okay, what do you think of Vern being in there? Vern Gagne.
No comment.
Tony Atlas. Okay.
Now we're getting stupid here.
That's a little much.
Is Rocky Johnson also in or no?
I don't see him. Not yet, at least. William the Refrigerator Perry as the celebrity.
I don't know why. Just because he was in the Battle Royal?
It's a weird pick.
He's no Pete Rose.
Because you could have put, like, Euchre in this year or whatever. Like,
Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah, something like that. The Blackjacks? Yeah,
yeah, they deserve
fine.
It. Yep.
Okay. Now, we have 2007.
Oh, boy.
The American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Of course.
100%.
Yep. Mr. Perfect?
Yep.
Jerry Lawler?
Yep.
Nick Bockwinkel?
Yep.
Mr. Fuji?
Absolutely. Hell yeah.
The Sheik.
The original Sheik. I mean, yeah. This is when they started to not care if it was a WWF guy anymore.
Yeah, yeah. This is when that happened.
Because he didn't do dick in WWF.
Jim Ross.
I can't. DraftKings.com.
I can't believe after all the nonsense that Vince McMahon has done to Jim Ross that he actually even put him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but he put him in when he was still active, I think, to make him seem old.
You really think it was just that?
I think JR had a problem with it
at
the time.
That's bullshit, if that's the reason.
Or someone did.
Wild Samoans.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
They were the first of that type.
Yeah, I mean, they really gave us a lot of people. Now, if you're related to them, you're already in the Hall of Fame. There's probably like a baby being born right now that's in the Hall of Fame, like in the womb, because it was somehow related to them.
You think Nia Jax Hall of Famer?
Yeah, probably. Okay, 2008.
Okay, sure.
Ric Flair.
Woo.
Yeah, you have to be.
Absolutely.
Okay, this one, the High Chief Peter Maivia.
Why?
Because he's related to the... Like,
because he's the Rock's
this
dad.
This is what I'm talking about.
And he fought Bob Backlund that one time when he had the mustache.
Okay, now Rocky Johnson. What the fuck with the Rock people?
Why did he get in, though, after Tony Atlas?
Yeah, Tony Atlas is bullshit. Rocky Johnson is okay.
He's also bullshit, but
he's bullshit, but he's a slightly better, and he's the Rock's dad.
They put Saba Simba in before Rocky Johnson.
Mae Young.
Yep.
Yeah, I would do that.
No issue there.
Okay, Eddie Graham. Is it
which one's he now?
He's the promoter from Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he should be in. Sure.
Gordon Solie.
Yeah. But again, this is where Vince turned it into the Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Well, he wanted to be, in the wrestling, not WWF.
Well, he doesn't even like wrestling, though. So what is it? The Sporting.
Sports Entertainment.
Sports Entertainment Hall of Fame. Yeah.
Right.
Gordon Solie should be in.
Okay, so the Briscoe brothers, Gerald and Jack.
And their body shop, too.
Yeah.
Vince, we're going to break WCW's face. We're going to kill
their
children.
We're going to kill them and their mothers.
We're going to stomp on their cars. And we're going to slash their tires.
I would put them in just for their loyalty. They are like, seriously, like. Gerald Briscoe is the most loyal person I have ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, he's the biggest WWF zealot.
Whether that's good or not, I'm not sure, but yeah.
Okay, so that's the end of 2008. 2009, here we go.
Is this where it gets stupid?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, one thing in it is really stupid.
All right, let's hear it.
Stone Cold.
Yeah.
Okay. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat,
yes.
Definitely.
Yes.
Cowboy Bill Watts.
Bill Watt opened the door, yeah. And he came in, brother, like the shining
light. I personally don't like him.
I don't like him either. He seems like an asshole.
And I don't really think he was a good booker either. The UWF failed. And
his Mid-South show was actually pretty ahead of its time, but he seems like a fucking asshole, so yeah. I don't like him.
I don't know about him.
He's successful.
Guess who inducted him?
Jim Ross, of course.
Yeah.
That's my guy, Bill Watts.
Okay, here's where we get out of
here. God, what now?
Coco Beware.
Come on!
This is where I always...
This is the marker
here. This is
here.
Why...
This is the Coco line.
This is the why I brought this topic up in the first place, because this is what happens now when the Hall of Fame is like a yearly thing.
This is when it jumped the shark.
Yeah. Coco Beware? Really? Where's the Brooklyn Brawler?
Yeah, seriously.
Coco Beware? He was never good, ever.
Coco be fucking where?
Yeah. Oh, and guess who inducted him? You'll really like this.
Who?
The Honky Tonk.
Yeah. I hate that guy.
He's a Hogan stooge if I've ever seen one. Howard Finkel.
Definitely.
Yep. The Funks, Dory and Terry.
Not Hoss.
No,
that's
not Hoss.
Dory. I'm just kidding.
And the whole Von Erich family as a unit.
That's Vince just giving some props up to world
now,
class.
I would
I
give
mean.
Terry in there, but the rest...
I wouldn't give Kerry in there.
Why? Because he's missing something.
He doesn't have
something.
A leg to stand on.
Yeah, he doesn't have a leg to stand on. Guess who inducted them? This makes sense, actually.
Sam Houston.
Michael P.S. Hayes.
Fuck him, too.
Because that was their primary feud, right?
With racist the... asshole.
Anyway.
It's true.
The 2010. Yeah. Million Dollar Man.
Yeah, I remember that one. That was good. He came out with... He had the Million Dollar Belt and everything,
yeah,
too.
It was
cool.
Good. Okay, this one's weird. Antonio Inoki.
Fine.
I mean...
Because it's not... If we're making sure that we're just taking WWE away from the name of the Hall of Fame, then if the point of this now is wrestlers that are good or something,
yeah.
Then fine, yeah.
But here's the thing with Inoki that I have a problem with. I know it's a big deal in Japan.
Yeah.
But I feel like even just in his own sphere,
mm-hmm.
There's better wrestlers in Japan than he was. Like, I know that it's just because he got, like, it's... No. I know it's just because he started it. I guess because he's like a pioneer, right?
He deserves to be in, Quinn.
Okay. Wendy Richter.
Yep. Big part of WrestleMania 1. She was a big deal.
Yeah. Mad Dog Vachon.
No.
Well, he doesn't have a leg to stand on either. But,
damn!
Gorgeous George, of course.
Gorgeous George, yeah.
Definitely. And not the woman, Gorgeous George,
no.
The actual wrestler.
Yeah.
You'll like this one.
What?
Stu Hart.
Oh, it's wonderful.
I like it. Stu, tell us exactly what you think about your son.
It's wonderful.
Well, there you go.
Oh, wait a sec. Wait, when did I miss this? Bob Uecker is in the Hall of Fame.
He is?
Yes, 2010.
Where have we been?
What, this whole time.
We've had such a problem with him not being in. It turns out he's in. All right.
Wow,
we learned something today.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, 2011. My favorite, Shawn Michaels. Okay. What do you think of this one? Jim Duggan. I like him.
It's hard.
But
I don't
know if he's a Hall of Famer.
But this is where you go back now and say, well, if Coco Beware is in,
yeah.
That's the problem now.
Now, see, this is, yes, exactly.
Vince is smart. He put Coco Beware in so we could say that.
Coco Beware is like a bottom basement yeah. line of, like, you have to be above Coco Beware to get in the Hall of Fame.
So in that case, yeah, then Duggan should be in.
What about Bob Armstrong?
Bullet Bob Armstrong. I mean, if no, no,
yeah, no
just
wait.
No, no yeah. anymore.
Yeah, Sonny.
No,
really,
no.
I know you like her though.
She had like a 2-year career there. Like fuck that. What did she? I mean, I like her, charismatic, talented, but she didn't do anything that long. Mm.
I don't know. I think she was one of the first like diva style women.
Even
is that a
so,
good thing to go off of? But it is 2011, so back then they kind of liked that still.
Yeah,
she's timely, is why she's in there. Because for the time that she was put in there, they thought, oh, well, she was the pioneer of the sexy kind of diva, right?
True, true. Good point.
Like, so I think that's kind of why, but now that's frowned upon, so it seems weird that she's like in there now.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Abdul the Butcher.
Why? Yeah,
like,
fine.
He doesn't have either leg just, to stand on.
No, that's Kamala.
Oh, sorry. Okay, this one, you know I'm going to have a problem with this one.
What?
Legion of Doom.
Yeah, but they should be in. They should be in, though.
They should be in.
Did Paul Ellering induct them?
No, but, it gets worse.
What?
They put Paul Ellering in the Hall of Fame. Why? He's so bad! He's so fucking horrible! He never did anything! Why is he... You know what? Legion of Dumb, they probably were like, we're not going in the Hall of Fame if shitty Paul Ellering's not in the Hall of Fame. This stupid karate gi, that fuckhead. He's terrible. He's not deserving of anything. You know, the next guy is more deserving than he is.
Who?
Drew Carey. At least he was in the Royal Rumble. What, are they going to put Rocco the Puppet in next year? Fuck Paul Ellering. Okay, 2012. We're almost there.
Okay.
Mil Máscaras.
No! Yeah. Why are we doing this now?
Isn't he in Lucha Underground? Or is that like Mil Máscaras Jr.? I don't know. Edge?
See, I know you're Mr. Edge over there.
I like Edge.
No, he should not be in.
He's in. Well, he's retired. This was when he was retired for good. So
I don't care.
Why do you hate him?
I don't hate him. I just don't think he's that great.
He was one of the top heels of his time.
I don't like him.
I disagree.
I don't have to like him.
What, the Four Horsemen as a collective?
Yes.
Mike Tyson.
Yes.
Yeah. He should be in the Boxing Hall of Fame, too, but I don't think that's happening. Ron Simmons?
Damn.
Yes or no?
Where am I? What's my criteria here?
Well, I think being a pioneer is a big deal.
Like Davy Crockett's in it?
Abraham Lincoln should be in the Hall of Fame. But no, but I really do think if you like pioneer something, like, and I like Ron Simmons a lot, actually.
I like him too. So again, we're throwing the WWE banner out the window here, right? No. And it's just like the wrestling. Yeah, then
at
yes.
At this point, yeah.
Then yes, Ron Simmons.
Yokozuna.
Yes. I love Yoko.
Now, Yoko's a little borderline.
If Edge is in, Yokozuna's in.
No way. Yes, Edge was way better than Yokozuna.
Bullshit.
Fine. We got a lot to go here, so hold on. So, Mick Foley,
mm-hmm.
without question. Mm-hmm. Bob Backlund.
Yep.
We're in 2013, by the way.
Okay.
Trish.
Yes.
Yep. Bruno.
Yes.
Booker T.
No.
Really?
Honestly, why should he be? I know he had like a decent career, but
he had a really good career, honestly.
You think?
I thought he was a great worker. I thought he was he had many titles. Like
he had
he was a good tag team wrestler, he was a good singles wrestler.
He was the only good wrestler in Harlem Heat.
He was overall just good. I really think Booker T is a good addition to
the
Hall of Fame.
If Coco Beware is in.
Stop. Well, yeah, don't stop.
That's kinda where it is though, you know?
Okay.
Then yeah, fine.
And now we must honor the President of the United States, Donald Trump, in 2013 in the Hall of Fame.
Recently inaugurated Donald Trump.
Yes.
Is also in the Hall of Fame, yes.
The Hall of Fame now includes presidents. So, I mean, I think Abe Lincoln should have been in before Donald Trump, but that's another thing entirely. I think the most famous president to wrestle.
I think Jack Tunney should have been in, too, if we're talking presidents.
Yeah, I mean, Jack Tunney, too.
Yeah.
But didn't they have a falling out with them or something?
Yeah, well, the handing out of the menus or something.
Yeah. I don't stop. Okay, 2014.
Yeah.
The Ultimate Warrior, which was super sad because he died the next day.
That was sad, and he deserved it long before.
I always liked that Linda inducted him on this one.
He picked her specifically.
Yes, that was really classy.
That was nice.
That was a classy move.
I liked his induction. Obviously, if he hadn't had some, you know, whatever was going on with the two of them, I'm sure he would have been in earlier.
Right.
He deserves it.
Yeah. Paul Bearer.
Only because of the Undertaker's career.
Well, I mean, he did manage Kane. That was a big thing for Paul Bearer.
Yeah, and he was Percy Pringle and World Class and all that. But
he was a stalwart of the business. Let's put it that way. He was around for a very long time.
Well, if Baron Mikel Cicluna is in, I guess Paul Bearer should be in.
Jake the Snake.
Yeah,
definitely.
Definitely.
Lita? As Trish's foil.
Yeah, okay, if Trish is in, then yeah, Lita,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, she's Trish's...
Sure.
She's the macho man to Trish's Hulk.
Fine, she's the Orton to Cena, right?
Yeah. This one.
What?
Carlos Colon, that youngster.
Oh, that youngster, yeah.
What do you
think? Fuck that guy!
No.
In stupid territory where Bruiser Brody was killed there.
Yeah,
World Wrestling Council, my ass.
2014, though, this is a pretty good year, okay year so far.
We watched that one together, remember?
Yeah. Mr. T, definitely, right?
My mother.
Yeah, that was a great induction.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I don't care what anyone says, I loved his speech.
And finally, Scott Hall.
Yeah, that was great. I think Razor Ramon plus, like, not only Razor Ramon character,
yeah,
but then the Scott Hall NWO character.
The NWO is really, like, I think the end, if it's not in, if we didn't miss it, it's the NWO should be, like, the concept of the NWO, because the Four Horsemen were in, right?
Yeah,
that's like a faction.
You just can't put individual wrestlers in there because you're going to wind up with like
Scott Norton's going to be in the Hall of Fame
and crush your favorite.
Oh yeah, okay, never mind that. But anyway, 2015.
Yeah,
the Macho Man.
That was
finally
that was awesome. Lanny Poffo, right, did the speech
a couple years too late, but
yeah,
well deserved.
Absolutely.
Now as the celebrity Arnold, which I never got because he wasn't really in the WWF or anything.
No, I know he made an appearance in, like, 99.
This was something to do with some kind of connection with the Arnold Classic where they would have NXT or something. That's why they did that.
Isn't that where they got Dana Brooke from?
This is why I think it's controversial, because this is where they start using... This was the year they start using the Hall of Fame to kind of link themselves to stuff outside.
Yeah, good
it's
point.
It's like, we have the celebrity wing, so we can just pick anyone.
That was kind of shitty.
And somehow Regis isn't in yet.
Right.
Okay, Rikishi? No.
I don't agree with that. It was a fat guy that danced. That's why he got in.
He's in because he's related to The Rock.
And he
and he did it for the people.
I did it for The Rock. I did it for the people. I did it. Shut your mouth, you thong wearing fatty.
He did it for the people.
Yeah.
He
really is because he's related to The Rock.
And he lucked into that fat thong dancing gimmick at a time where like everything was over. It's not talent, he just was fat.
I mean, Too Cool was more over than he was.
Too Cool sucked.
Yeah, but they're funny.
They were funny.
Yeah, I like them.
It's the only time I've liked Brian Christopher ever.
Well, Scott, how could you hate Scotty Too Hotty ever?
He's okay.
Like, he's so fun.
He's fun.
Okay, the Bushwhackers.
Yes, and we loved their speech. Do you remember that?
Do you recall, before they went in, we were a little doubtful of this one.
I
remember watching this with you.
We were a little nervous about how this speech was going to go,
too. Not even the speech. I didn't think they were deserving.
They are.
But after I got to see more about them...
The Kiwis, the Sheep Herders.
I was kind of reminded that they were kind of good.
And their speech was really fun.
Now, this one was great. Alondra Blaze, or Medusa.
Yeah, I was very happy that she was in.
And she definitely deserved to be.
She's
she was the
fantastic.
First, like, wrestler. Like, real, like, she knew how to wrestle.
Yeah, she was great.
And a good manager. Now, this one I hate. Larry Zbyszko.
I wandered into Bruno Sammartino's backyard.
Oh.
Wow. I don't know what to say.
Bruno's backyard.
Fuck him.
Now, where do you think Larry Zbyszko... As far as his relevance is concerned, does he deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? Because I don't even think he deserves on a wrestling level to be in the Hall of Fame. And throwing the Coco Beware out the window stuff, Larry Zbyszko. I think he's worse than Coco Beware, by the way, but anyway.
He's the Kmart of people that should be in the Hall of Fame, okay?
He's in the Hall of Fame, like, Walmart section.
Yeah. Screw this guy. I'm sorry. No. Just no.
And here's where you lose me with the Japanese wrestlers, because whereas you could have, like, the Great Muta or something,
sure,
right?
Sure, right.
You have Tatsusumi Fujinami. Who?
You know,
I don't even know who that is, really.
I think he was an NWA champion, wasn't he?
Was he?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, he won against Flair, but in, like, a bullshit... One of those reigns where Flair drops it for 2 seconds when he was, like, a territory champion.
Yeah, but he was a big deal.
Big Daddy Cool Kevin Nash.
Big Daddy Cool Kevin
Nash.
I'm
combining on purpose.
Big Sexy Diesel.
To encompass the career of Kevin Nash, yes.
I don't think he's nearly as good as Scott Hall, but if Hall's in,
like,
you gotta put Nash in.
Yeah, it felt like if the Hall was in, Nash was in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the last year, of course.
Yeah.
Sting.
Yep.
Deserving. No matter what you think of Sting. I know you don't like Sting.
Yeah, because, again, the bar has been lowered and lowered as the years have gone on.
Not even on the bar lowering.
Bar lowering.
Sting is Sting.
Bar lowering.
Sting is a legend. Stop.
If I ever lose my faith.
Okay. This is another one where it's like, what the fuck? The Godfather?
That was weird. It was just like their homage to the Attitude Era, I think.
Yeah. Michael Hayes.
Yes. Is reluctantly, but yes.
Yes. Buddy. They put all of them individually.
The Freebirds,
Buddy,
should all be
Buddy
in.
Roberts, Terry Gordy, Jimmy Garvin.
Yep. They should be in.
The Big Boss Man.
Yes. Absolutely 100%.
Now, in the women department, I don't think she's very. Like, I like her, but I don't think she should be a Hall of Famer. Jacqueline.
Oh, wait. They put her in, right?
Yeah.
That was. Weird.
I don't know about that.
I don't either.
I don't think
she's... I guess, but...
Yeah.
again, if we're putting in Trish and Lita,
yeah,
fine.
Stan Hansen, the best actor to ever exist.
Oh, yeah.
Love him. The celebrity that year was Snoop Dogg.
Don't even get me started on that, because that, no.
Yeah.
No.
That's not the celebrity that, where's Regis?
Where's Regis? Where's Mary Hart?
Alex Trebek. Where
right.
are they?
Alice Cooper.
Yeah, there's so many.
Joan Rivers.
And finally, I just want to throw in there, because they're technically Hall of Famers.
I know what you're going to say.
The WWE Ultimate Warrior Award, which the first year, they did it right and they put Connor in. That was great.
Yes, absolutely. That was classy and
Connor,
that was sweet.
Connor, you are a Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
Fantastic, right? That's somebody you don't know. It's a fan. And that's what the Ultimate Warrior was talking about.
People
right?
that you don't, that don't get recognized, right?
Right. Like, a fan that likes it, and he had cancer. It's great. Yeah. That's a great one.
Last year, they put in fucking Good Morning America.
Joan London. Now, as
do this with a straight face, Quinn. I dare you.
As fans of Good Morning America, you and me of the 90s,
yes,
right?
We Charles did, Gibson and Joan London.
I love Joan London in that role.
Yes.
She is the original female co-host of Good Morning America to me. But
you love her.
The Ultimate Warrior Award? Because I get it, she survived cancer, but first of all, this award wasn't meant to be just for, like, cancer survivors. It's also supposed to be for, like, custodians and, like, referees.
And Cliff.
Like, yeah, and Cliff, the guy. Yeah. I have no problem with them, like, honoring, you know, fans or whatever
sure.
that survived cancer. But
yeah, I know.
On the
I know
other
what you're
hand,
saying.
This is not this award was not designed for that. That's not what he said. Go back and watch.
I've got you, Quinn.
Like the Connor was good, but this isn't supposed to be like every year thing. So
right.
I don't know what they're going to do this year. But
I don't know. I will say this: final thoughts on the Hall of Fame on my end,
yeah,
and then I'll throw
because
it to you.
Now this is where I wanted to get at.
Yeah.
Now that we went through the list, what do you think of it overall?
I think the original version that we were reading through from 93, or, you know, the Andre, and then up to 96, no issues there.
No.
It was classy. It was banquet style. I think the first few years, maybe up until about 2007 or 8,
yeah,
of the modern version.
Basically, till we get Coco.
Was good, yeah. One thing I don't like about watching the Hall of Fame
mm-hmm.
is the crowd is just drunk and horrible.
I think they should ban the crowd. I think it should go back to banquet.
I would.
Or invitee only. Or
yes.
maybe like keep it to 100 people. Like,
yeah.
As fans.
It's become very masturbatory and very self-indulgent.
I wouldn't say it's masturbatory because I think
a little
listen,
bit it is.
Listen, I think that the heart Vince has behind it is right.
Possibly.
No, because it is. Because if it was a Vince McMahon thing, he would be all over it. But he isn't.
I think Vince
he's
knows
very
exactly
George Steinbrenner
what he's
about
doing,
it.
And I think Vince knows what he's doing.
He's never going to be in the Hall of Fame until he dies. You know that.
Yes.
Like he's pretty intent on that.
He's also never going to die, so
well,
it doesn't matter.
Everybody makes mistakes.
Everybody has flaws.
Nobody's perfect. Okay.
Overall, I think it was a good idea. I'm tired of it. Because now it's you get people that you're like, why?
I wouldn't say I'm tired.
I'm
of
tired
it.
Of it.
I wouldn't say I'm tired of it because it's only once a year. It's not like we have to deal with it consistently. Yeah. If it was like every month, we would hate it. But
true. One thing though that I'm still not okay with.
Coco, beware.
No, Regis is not in.
Fuck yeah! If he's not in this year, I'm
that's
protesting
yeah.
the Hall of Fame.
That's it.
Yeah, I. Fuck, Regis.
So what do you think, Quinn? What's your final thoughts on this before we wrap
My
up?
My final thoughts are like I was saying. I think, first of all, I like that it keeps the retro spirit alive because there
hey, that's
be
what
people,
we do.
Yeah, that wouldn't be people like us. It is nice that one night a year that we honor the wrestlers from the past.
I agree.
I think it's a necessary thing, you know? And
I
that,
agree.
And it's one of those things, what's great about it, it's one of those things that's never going to end because as the years go up, newer guys come in, and you know,
yeah, it'll
one
be
time,
weird.
One year there'll be John Cena in the Hall of Fame, and it'll be old and gray. Like,
as there should be John
yeah,
Cena in the Hall of Fame,
right? You know, so
and we'll be able to do this in 20 years.
Maybe we'll have an updated one.
Exactly,
if this show keeps going.
Speaking of keeping going, folks, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're reviewing something. Back after this.
A long way from being over. Plenty more action still to come. Right now, let's take you to Regis.
All right, here at WrestleMania 7, ladies and gentlemen, it's Superstars and Stripes Forever. Joining me now, a superstar who makes his living on the fact that nothing, absolutely nothing, lasts forever. I'm talking, of course, about The Undertaker, along with his manager, Paul Bearer. Hey, what do you say, guys? How about this celebration we're having here today, huh? Isn't it great? A great day to be alive, wouldn't you say? This guy must be tall. I'm 6'3". I can't get over it. Now, what are you doing with that measuring tape? Huh?
38.
Oh, come on. Now, look, you don't have to take any measurements. I know we're all getting older, but...
33.
Hey, you know, these guys are serious, aren't you? I think he's serious. Oh, boy. Listen, we're...
27.
But this is a live show. We're dying out here. We really should talk a little bit about, you know, your urn and who's in it and what's going on here. I played some dead rooms before. I hope Alex Trebek is going to have a better time than me. Alex, how you doing? I got to get out of here now.
All right, we're back here on Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. Thank you for being with us.
It's been a doozy of an episode.
It's been a doozy. That is the definitive, exhaustive Hall of Fame discussion, Quinn.
The glossary of the Hall of Fame.
That's right. You know
what I was saying to you?
We should update it, yeah.
Yeah. Every year, when we hit WrestleMania, let's
update it.
Let's update it, right?
Give our thoughts on, because it is retro.
It is retro. That's our WrestleMania, really.
Exactly. The Hall of Fame is like our WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Folks,
so, there you go.
It's time for our last segment. We're reviewing something. Quinn and I watched this today, and this is at the request, not the specific show, but the promotion of our Twitter friend, Ruben Vasquez Jr.
Yes, Ruben, this is finally, it's happening.
He was born and raised and reared on AWA in 1982.
And we were not.
This is way out of our level of expertise.
It's out of our swing.
It is.
What is that called?
Swing.
What is it?
Not swing.
Wheelhouse.
Swing set.
Yeah, wheelhouse. That's it. That's the name for it, right?
So we landed upon. We were sitting there watching our, you know, our CRT, you know, 13-inch TV with the rabbit ears.
We were doing some tape trading, and we landed on this.
We landed on AWA All Star Wrestling from June 23rd, 1983, and AWA All Star Wrestling was a syndicated show that aired in several markets. 1960, Quinn, until the promotion closed in 91.
Okay. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Sure.
Really? They couldn't just, like, have another change it ever? Like, even WWF, they had, like, heavyweight wrestling and then championship wrestling and then superstars. Like,
right.
They changed it all the time. Not all the time, but every decade at least. Like this show had been on for eons at this point. So old.
Yes, and it feels that way. We open up with Rod Trongard, believe it or not, who we just referenced.
Was Abe Lincoln on those old episodes, by the way? Just before we get started, sorry.
Yeah, he had that match at a theater against John Wilkes Booth, I think.
Well, that was on the first episode of All-Star
yeah,
Wrestling.
Yeah, Lincoln
right?
put him over.
And Kennedy was there. Okay.
It was
sorry.
A shoot match, actually.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm very sorry, too.
Very sorry,
too
AWA
soon?
Fans.
So Rod Trongard is the ring announcer, which is weird.
The first match, ladies and gentlemen, it is 1-4.
Yeah. Normally he was a commentator. In this case, he's the ring announcer.
As we mentioned in the Cindy discussion, or not the Cindy, the house show.
The house show discussion. So our opening match here is Brad Rheingans, who I've heard he's a name. I believe he trained people also.
He looked very wrestlery.
Very wrestlery. He fought a jobberific guy named the Black Panther.
Yeah. I had said that I thought the quality of, like, the studio was good for the time.
For 83.
Yes, I think, and I can see why people liked that.
Yeah,
then.
I guess so. I mean, it was clean.
Yeah,
it was crisp.
Compared to WWF's usual, taped in a closet dump.
Closet?
I mean, come on. You know those championship wrestlings, it looks like dog shit.
What about where the NWA taped?
What? At least that's brightly lit with the flags behind it and everything? That's fine.
Flags. That's like a cafeteria.
It's fine. That one works. And that one's more fun anyway because the interview center is in plain sight.
That's true.
Like, and it's like they're just there.
Right, so,
like, I like that better.
Let's get to this great match here. So Roger Kent is the commentator. He's an AWA guy.
Oh, that's who that was?
Roger Kent,
He didn't even say his name.
No,
did he?
He didn't. But
you
well, he did
up?
Later on.
Okay.
He did later
okay.
on. So apparently they said like Brad was supposed to win the Olympics or something according to Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, okay. So this is where we get a lot. I'm getting the Vern tastes in my mouth all already here. You know how he was with, like, Olympics and, like, you know, like, this is the guy he thought was going to be, like, the next Rock or something. Like, well, there was no Rock yet, but the next, like...
Bob Backlund? I mean, I don't
who
know.
Who would we say? The next superstar Billy Graham or something.
The next Vern Gagne. Yeah, that's who we thought it would be.
Well, he thought his son was going to be the next Vern
Gagne.
We'll get to him later, but...
So the ring ropes here, this I found strange, Quinn. They're blue, red, and blue.
Which is weird, because... You're the American Wrestling right. Association. Wouldn't it be red, white, and blue? Now, I get it. Their colors are mainly primarily blue and red, but...
But still.
Yeah, it's a little...
America.
Yeah.
So, Quinn, I have a quote from you. I'm going to read it. I can see why people like this back then. It's just better. It's not dirty looking. What do you mean by that?
I mean, like I said,
dirty?
As much as I love the WWWF or WWF or whatever...
Yes.
Before the Hogan era... Everything is just dimly lit, and it looks like a garbage can. Like, it looks like it was filmed behind, like a mini-mart or something.
Behind a mini-mart?
It's terrible. Like, it's just... I mean, you could smell the cigarette smoke from your TV. Like, it just... It's terrible. Like, you have to admit that this cleaner, more advanced thing... This is probably what Vince was seeing around the country and what he wanted it to be. But, you know...
Really?
Think about it. All the other promotions were doing the brightly lit way before they were.
World Class.
NWA.
Mid-South.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. By NWA.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Did you notice how bouncy the ring was?
Yeah, very, very bouncy.
It was like a trampoline.
Yeah, it was like a trampoline.
It really was.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe you can explain this, Quinn, because the commentator, Roger Kent, did nothing here. Honestly, he veers off for like a minute or two where it seems like he's calling Brad Reingans Jim Brunzel or something.
Which, by the way, I originally thought Brad Reingans was Jim Brunzel, so it was doubly confusing. But I did hear an anecdote slightly before, and you kept trying to rewind it, but you kept missing it. And I was like, you got to go back
it's
for
VHS,
this.
It's VHS, man. It's
okay.
Hard.
But anyway, basically, he's talking about a story about another match that he recently saw with Greg Gagne and Jim Brunzel. But the way that he's saying it, it's like he's commentating the match we're watching.
It's bad.
Commentating that old match from like a couple weeks or something.
Yeah,
before.
So it sounds like he's calling Brad Reingans Jim Brunzel.
I don't understand this.
But it looked like Jim Brunzel had kicked the guy who went for a flying dropkick. Looked like he had missed him.
It's terrible.
It's bad. So this match was extremely boring.
I called it very Vern.
Yeah. And it occurs to me as I'm watching this, especially the hairstyle, Black Panther kind of looks like Mo, but I think the Black Panther might actually be better than Mo.
Yes, Mo from Men on a Mission.
Yeah. Mo sucks.
Black Panther is at least kind of respectable, but not really.
Not really.
Yeah.
Now, Quinn, for all your commenting about how great this looks, how clean it looks, then you say it looks like the 60s. Care to explain that?
Okay. So I say that because they veer the camera to the like right a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And I noticed this, like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like, I'm sorry. Yeah, I know how to describe it. It's like a curtain.
It's a curtain.
But it's one of those old yellow curtains. So it, like, looks like this was filmed in an opera house in the 70s or 60s. So then all of a sudden my view of this changed because I realized the reverse angle, they're like... Oh, man, this is really old. This looks like that weird dusty match with, like, Dick Murdoch that they show from 69 all the time. You know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you mean.
With that kind of curtain in the background?
I know what you mean, yeah.
Yes.
So a Skullcracker gets to... Brad Reingans looks to me like... And this is a weird description, but combination of, like, Bob Backlund and Kurt Angle or something.
I get it, because his trunks are Kurt Angle-y, but
yeah,
he's,
and
like...
Yeah, he's built kind of like
he's
them.
He's built like Backlund sort of, too.
Yeah, it's weird.
He's got a upper... part, big upper part. Yeah.
Big upper part,
yeah.
Panther's a big tubs, right, Quinn? I mean,
he's fat. But what's weird is his trunks are, like, too big for him.
Yeah, they're, like, falling off of him.
It's like he got, like, a fatter guy's trunks, but he's not fat enough for them.
But he's still fat.
He's still fat, yeah.
One guy just yells out boring, and he's right. And Quinn and I are
anxious. Well, what's funny is because before this, you had said that this match
so
sucks.
It's so boring.
Yeah,
so Quinn and I are anxiously awaiting what mundane move is going to be the finisher.
I'm predicting like an elbow drop, I think. Like,
it actually turns out to be a teardrop suplex.
Yeah,
you know, the side back suplex. And it gets the first fall?
Yeah, they don't say. Now this match is two falls.
Two out of three falls? Why?
And that goes to Brad Rangins.
Right.
We didn't say that.
So, AWA fans, was this normal? Was two out of three falls...
In the opening match on TV?
It's strange.
What the hell?
Was it just like they would throw two out of three falls matches in
all
there?
I'm going to say about that again, mm-hmm. and I didn't say this at the time,
yeah.
Very Vern.
Very Vern.
That's pretty much describes this show.
Yeah, so we come back for the second fall, and speaking of falls, I'm falling asleep watching this.
Oh.
This just sucks.
You really didn't like it.
Brad Rangins puts on a fucking Indian deathlock.
That was okay.
And then, Quinn, I like this quote from you. I'm going to read. This jabron should lose two in a row. I hope to hell it doesn't go three falls.
It better not. I mean, it's a jobber match. Why is a jobber match two out of three falls? What is the... Does the jobber need a second chance? He's a jobber.
Speaking of his second chance here, Brad wins with a lateral press, right, Quinn?
Yeah.
After what?
I don't even remember.
It was a backbreaker.
He gives him a backbreaker. But, like, I felt that that wasn't a suitable finisher and that the lateral press really is what finished him off. Because the way he pins him is weird.
Yeah.
Like, he lateral presses him and he, like, struggles to wiggle his way out, but he just can't and he loses. Like, it's like a real wrestling match.
So, Rangins wins the second fall with the lateral press, and that's the match. And the bumper music, Quinn, is a Michael Jackson song.
Yeah, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough.
Yeah, from Off the Wall, right?
Now, this is an 80s thing, where they early 80s, before the music artist got upset, but...
Yeah, because WWE was using Thriller right around this time.
Everyone's just using whatever the hell. You'll see later on in this show, they use other music, but
yeah,
it's
kind
of weird.
It is weird.
It's like, oh, let's just use this licensed music with no permission at all.
I wish we could do that.
Yeah.
So Mean Gene then welcomes us to the show after the first match.
After a two out of three falls match.
Good morning again, everybody. My name is Gene Okerlund, and I'm going to be your host for the television program All Star Wrestling.
And we've got, just so you know, folks, what they would do is they would insert local market promos here. So whatever feed we were watching here, this is the St. Louis market.
Now, this isn't to say there's commercials on this.
No, there's no commercials. I'm talking about within the show.
Right.
They would insert into their syndicated, you know, packages.
That something was going to happen in the area.
Yeah. So this is for St. Louis. So every promo here is regarding a big show coming up in St. Louis. So we get a promo with Blackjack Lanza. With who, Quinn?
Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Yeah, about an
the best manager of all time.
Absolutely. And Lanza had, like, what, a polo or something under his vest?
So this is weird. Like, Lanza has a polo shirt, and it's like he's got his signature leather vest over the polo shirt.
Right.
Now, this kind of goes with the theme that Heenan looks like he just woke up. I swear that's why Lance is also in the polo. It looks like a lot of these are, because even Gene's a little subdued. It looks like they filmed all these at like 7 o'clock in the morning. They just got their coffee like right before this. Like, seriously.
And apparently the Missouri State title is like a thing.
No, they're talking about NWA too. Like, I didn't know
they're bringing up Ric Flair.
Yeah, I'm like, I thought the AWA was like a splinter thing. Like,
I thought Vern had pulled away from them. I guess
a long time ago.
I guess maybe briefly he worked with them. I'm not up to par on that right now.
They didn't say, but I thought the Missouri title is NWA. It's a territory.
They
belt.
Did. They said it was NWA.
Huh. That's weird.
Very, very strange. Anyway. Mean Gene has, just so you know, a very red coat on.
Yes.
Very red.
Well, I mean, that was the AWA, like, signature. I know Eric Bischoff has one later and all the other doofuses that work there.
So Mean Gene throws to a clip not from the same arena as the first match.
This is really confusing because he does this with no, like, you think they're just going to go to, like... Another match in the taping area.
Right, like you would see on NWA or like you would see on Championship Wrestling. No.
Yeah.
We, as Quinn said, joined in progress at some VFW. It's Crusher Blackwell versus We Don't Know, because they don't really say.
They don't say at all.
So
and
we
they don't tell us if this is two out of three falls
no,
either.
No, they
but
don't.
We'll watch it.
The Sheik is at ringside, I guess, managing Blackwell.
Yes.
The ref. Remember the ref?
Yeah, the ref is... He's as big as, like, Blackwell.
He's taller than him, too.
And he looks like Stan Hansen.
The ref is gigantic.
Yeah, and he's kind of fat, too.
And I'm just blurting out, what is this?
I know.
Like
you had another comment
I cannot believe they're wasting airtime on the, like, literally most of this match. It's like really poorly lit, by the way. It's literally Blackwell walking around and just slapping this guy occasionally.
I don't get what this was hyping. Like, they were like, I know they interview Blackwell later. I don't know what is he a threat? Like,
why is he a threat?
He doesn't
fat
do
and
anything.
Short. He's terrible.
Okay. Listen, we are not AWA stalwarts.
Not
so maybe
at all.
Crusher Blackwell was like this big thing, but this episode didn't make me think so.
And it was so poorly edited and put together.
It's
and
shitty.
I'll get to that later. So Blackwell, they announced it.
He rakes his back.
Yeah.
And the announcer says, "Well, Blackwell sharpens his nails, so
right.
when he does that, it like hurts." What? That should be illegal.
So Blackwell had some piece of shit suplex. And I want to mention, there's one camera. The stationary camera makes it impossible to find out who Blackwell's opponent is or what's going on when they're outside the ring.
Yes.
And the announcer isn't saying the guy's name ever.
No. No, so they never ever.
They never do.
He says Steve something, but very vaguely and fast.
We don't know who it is. I'm sorry.
He kind of looks like Gerald Briscoe, honestly.
It's not.
Yeah.
She gets involved. Big fat splash by Blackwell, which is called a body slam.
Yeah, the announcer calls it a body. You could tell they had the shit announcer on this one.
Yeah, that gets the win for Blackwell, and the winner is announced as Chief Ayatollah Blackwell.
Haha, because he has Sheik with him, yeah.
Back to Mean Gene.
Okay, and then I go, Mean Gene looks like he's falling asleep. And then Gene says Hulk Hogan is the star of Rocky III.
Yeah, remember those 6 minutes Hogan's in Rocky III when he started?
He's bigger
it?
Than Sylvester Stallone in that movie. Remember his big love scene in that movie?
I remember his love scene in No Holds Barred.
Yeah, well, we do definitely remember that.
We get an interview with Blackwell now with Mean Gene. I swear I'm not making this up. He looks like a janitor Blackwell from my elementary school. I'm not even kidding.
He does. This is what I meant about not being a threat. He just looks like a dude. Like, he looks like someone's dad.
He's not
like,
good.
He's just nobody.
I don't know about you, Quinn. I really don't know what this Missouri title shit is about.
Well, it sounds good. I mean, I was saying, why are they hyping Blackwell so much?
I guess he was a big deal. I really don't know enough
Does
about
he
him.
Win? Like, I, it seems like they're setting him up to win the Missouri title.
But I know Hogan was involved in that whole thing they're hyping too.
Yeah.
So if you remember this one, this is awkward. Remember we cut to a really large arena, but you don't see the ring. You just see like the arena and it pans
right,
around.
And then it cuts again to the ring with the match. Like they, but the original cut with the arena was like the people filing in.
Yeah. And this wasn't like the tape edited or anything. This show is just that poorly produced.
Yeah.
So this match now, joined in progress, is Adrian Adonis.
Yeah.
Against Greg Gagne.
Now, we're a couple months here before the big...
Before he jumps over to WWF.
Everyone leaves this company.
Hogan, Heenan, Mean Gene.
Yeah.
And there's more.
Now, I want to say here, maybe it's in the notes, I don't know, but I think this is where I start to notice it, is that I think a lot of this seems very uninspired, most of this program. And from my understanding, a lot of these guys were not happy there.
I know
right
Hogan wasn't.
Part of the reason they left so jollily and like went to WWF is because they weren't happy in the first. It sounds like the promotion and the people that work there, it's in dysfunction.
Yeah.
Like a lot of it.
And I don't recall, I don't remember, but you might be right.
That could be speculation.
You might be right.
Just everything's uninspired. Even Gene seems uninspired, which is rare.
Yeah, but maybe it's because it was like 4 a.m. or something when they were filming
still.
This. Quinn, I like this quote from you. This doesn't make me want to go to see the AWA.
No, it doesn't. I said it looks like it's in a toilet bowl somewhere. Still better than the Action Zone, though.
I debate that, but we'll get to that later. Greg Gagne doesn't even look like a wrestler. He looks like an accountant. The guy looks like shit.
He looks like Vern's accountant's son.
And I love what you said, Quinn. He's like, Vern Jr., I'm going to put you in a toilet.
Yeah, yep. I mean, seriously. And then I'm like, it's the 80s, dude. Get out of here with that shit. Like,
yeah.
You know? Like,
the announcers are like barely commenting.
No, they don't care about this.
They mention it's been a 45-minute match.
I'm glad it was joined in progress then because it wasn't good.
And we still have the stationary camera, so literally this really happens. I swear to shit, this really happens. They go outside the ring, and the one camera can't pick up where Greg Gagne is laying on the floor. So you literally just see people sitting in chairs for like 30, 45, 60 seconds.
It's terrible.
It's
like,
terrible.
The camera is really limiting here, and I don't know why they even use this footage.
Right, and what I was saying then as we were watching this is compared to what NWA was putting out, and, you know, for all...
Crockett. When
NWA.
When you say NWA.
That's what I mean, is Crockett.
Because these guys are NWA too, really. I mean,
apparently.
Technically.
But compared to the NWA show, you know...
Yeah,
like the,
World Championship
yes.
Wrestling.
And what WWF was putting out, this show sucks in terms of production.
Yes, and even though WWF has the kind of crappy, dingy arenas, the cuts are good. The commentators are talking.
Yeah, like it's very concise,
and the matches are quick. You don't want
to.
You don't want to change
the
channel.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like,
so for all the shit Vince got for like his cartoony product,
which
and,
was
like,
later, but
yeah, even in '83, they weren't known. Like they weren't that well respected.
Right.
At least that was fun to watch.
Yes, and that's primarily the problem with this program. It's
right.
uninspired, and it's too, like, I know we like work rate, but it's too...
This isn't work rate,
it's
though.
It's not work rate, but at the same time, it seems to have some kind of focus on that these matches are real.
Yeah.
But, like, not in the good way. It's like,
right.
No, like, if you were in a fight, it might be boring to watch. Like, like if unless people did, like, awesome moves to each other and stuff.
Yeah, you're
like,
right.
Because in a real fight, yeah, you wouldn't want to slap them around and, like, do that boring shit. Because you just want to not get hurt. But, like, when I'm watching it on TV as a performance, I don't want to see that.
Right. I agree with you,
yeah.
Quinn. Balding Greg gets his HP up. Remember that? He's just like
all of a sudden he's resting outside.
He's wandering around. I guess he kept breaking the count. I didn't really catch it. He was outside the ring for like 3 minutes.
It was awful.
And it's just all about jumping around.
That's
right?
What I said. I said it's all about the jumping in AWA because, like, literally, when anybody like comes back in these matches, they're like, "Ooh, I'm jumping around and I'm punching you and stuff." Like,
so the finish is this. Greg Gagne goes for a sleeper, but like the other guy pulls him over the ropes. It's a double DQ. And Quinn, can you describe this weird freeze
okay,
frame?
Okay, so we get a freeze frame of them kind of fighting or something on the outside, but the freeze frame is of them like not, you can't even really see what they're doing. It's just like a mishmash of them with like a big light bulb from a camera going off in the freeze frame, and you can't even like see what's happening.
Right.
And it just freeze frames there, and then isn't it just back to Gene after that?
So we cut back to Gene, and Gene calls that exciting action. Vern Gagne.
Sure.
Vern wanders in now.
Barges in, really.
And he says Greg had an outstanding match.
I disagree with him on that one.
Quinn, this is a quote from you. I want to say it because
okay.
I laughed when you said it. Vern's suit looks like puke. You know that Stewart's I'm about to eat? It's on his suit after I eat it. What did you get from Stewart's, by the way?
A hamburger with some bacon and raw onions on it.
You
and
fries?
Some fries? Yeah, and a Stewart's root beer. Stewart's, the
Stewart.
Official... root beer of our podcast. Cheap pop.
So they fucking, I'm not making this up, they talk about horses for
yes,
2 minutes.
Yes, he talks about how he has like his horses and that they're good at racing or something. I'm like, why the fuck is this on a wrestling show?
Why
is this the Vern, what's Vern doing in his life hour? Like, it's like, oh, I own the show, I can just tell him about my other stuff.
I swear, he's like,
it's like a retired guy talking about nothing. Like, really? He's bored.
Like, it's like train collection or something, maybe next week.
It's like, I own a TV program, so I might as well share with my fans from the 60s about what I'm doing. What's he going to tell us about his like, retro car that he's fixing up in his garage, too, next week? Like, seriously.
What a waste of airtime.
Yeah, really. I mean, honestly, this isn't the Dumont Network anymore.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Do you know what I will say, though?
That battle royal?
It sounds good.
It does
sound
good.
Some star power. Jesse the Body was involved in that, right? Ric Flair?
They're talking about, like,
Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, the best guys of the 80s, really.
Harley Race?
Yeah. Well, Harley Race isn't in it. The winner gets to face Harley.
Face Harley. You're right.
Yeah.
Sorry. But, man, there's some star power in that, right?
Big
Ken
star
Patera,
power.
Some good stuff. Yeah. So then... Who wanders in but Baron Von Raskin?
Yeah, he's wearing his merch, which is interesting, because this was the beginning of that.
Very early for merch. His promo is literally about nothing important.
He's just like, ah, bah, 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 bah.
Yeah, like, I'm good.
Yeah.
Well, Claw Power says it all. I'm coming to show you and to win the belt and then on to bigger and better things.
That's literally what it is. Yeah. Like, there's nothing really to report from our end.
I'm good. And then we cut back to the original arena from the start of the show.
Yeah. The taping arena.
Yeah, the tape.
I wouldn't call it an arena. It's more like a studio.
Yeah. And this is a great team. Nacho Barrera. Baroa.
Now, I thought it was Macho Baroa, but I could be mistaken. Are you sure?
I hope it's Nacho. They don't have on-screen graphics, so I don't know.
They don't, which is another problem. In 83, you should at least have that.
Yeah. And Curtis Dean, who just looks like a teacher.
Yeah.
Dad, I don't know. And who's he fighting, Quinn?
Hulk Hogan.
Awesome.
The incredible Hulk Hogan.
It's a 2-on-1 match. Hogan has to pin them both to win.
Yes. It's 2-on-1. And Hogan in the all red with white boots.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I thought he looked awesome. He sticks out like a sore thumb.
He's the only thing in this promotion that's good.
So far on this show, he is
not to say
only
that
thing.
The guys that were in this promotion weren't good, but they look uninspired.
Yes, Hogan is fresh.
Hogan looks like I want to be the best wrestler in the world.
He looks like a star.
Yeah,
right?
He really does.
He looks like a star.
This is the Hogan I like.
Yeah, me too. And you know what I like about it? He's doing some wrestling. It's not quite his WWF.
It's not quite
power
Japan,
style,
but it's a little bit. It's a little bit in between.
Quinn, what do you think? You mentioned Greg Gagne here. You see this quote, Greg Gagne looks like poop compared
yes,
to this guy.
And I was saying that because I think Vern wanted Greg to be where Hulk was, but Hulk is just so much better
in
every way possible.
Yeah.
And we know that from history. Greg Gagne never became anything. After the promotion folded, nobody wanted to take him.
No, I mean, he worked for WCW, and he seems like, again, we've said this recently, he seems like a great guy.
No problem with him. He's a very nice man, but
not a star wrestler.
And I don't think, even when we watched that AWA DVD, it doesn't sound like Greg had any ambitions to be a star.
No, I don't think he
wanted to be a mid-carder.
Yeah, and like, I don't think he inflates his importance or anything.
No, he doesn't, and that's what I like about him.
Yeah, he seems like a pretty cool guy.
Cool guy, yeah.
So Hogan leg drops them both at once and pins them both.
That was a nice little ending right there. And I like this. At the end of the match, Eminence Front by The Who starts playing.
Weird bumper music,
yeah,
right?
It's good, very interesting. Good bumper
music. Definitely. Yeah, definitely. So we cut back to Gene, and then this was weird.
Yeah.
They're wasting time on this show. We get a clip from Rocky III.
Okay, they're showing a clip from Rocky III, and I understand they want Hogan to seem important or whatever, right?
But come on.
But here's the thing, is you only have so much airtime.
Right.
You only have an hour, and this is your big syndicated program, and you're going to show Rocky III footage from like 2 years ago or whatever?
Between this footage and Vern talking about horses, you know what Vince would have done? There would have been a squash match in there.
Yep. You could have fit a whole squash match.
In that amount of airtime, you would have seen a guy,
and another
finisher.
Yeah, another wrestler. Yep. This is why they were better.
Yeah. This, I have to
say.
And
this is considered their good era.
Yeah, it was just surprising.
Yeah.
I have to say, Hogan's acting, though, in Rocky III, better than No Holds Barred.
Well,
right?
Thunderlips,
I mean, come on.
Mr. Nanny's better than No Holds Barred.
Gene says Hogan weighs 341 pounds.
I didn't really notice that.
I did.
That's funny.
Which is not ever what he weighed, and it's not ever what WWF announced him as.
Now, I like this next match.
Who is it, Quinn? It's Ken Patera against who?
First of all, let's say this. This is the pre-prison Ken Patera, the good one. That's awesome.
Bleach blonde hair.
He looks great. He looks great.
I like
this
version.
But his opponent's name is fantastic. What? Mark Bland.
And that is very suitable name.
Yeah, and that's very obviously just thought up on the fly to like...
You think?
Yeah, I mean, come on. That's so obvious.
I don't know.
He's bland.
Patera is, of course, with Bobby Heenan. Bobby Heenan has khakis on. He's kind of dressed like 80s David Letterman.
Yeah, it's really
the
awkward.
Dark blazer and the khakis.
I love this combination of heel Patera with the blonde with Bobby the Brain. I love it.
Yeah, me too.
I think that's... I know it was in WWF briefly.
Yeah, until about 84, 85, yeah.
But I love it.
Yep. But I have to say, though, it is the good Patera, but even for a squash match, this is boring.
Again, uninspired.
They're wiggling around.
Yeah.
It's just like bullshit.
I'm telling you, a lot of this roster looks like they are not happy with what's going on.
Yeah.
They're not even trying.
Patera jumped soon after also.
Yep.
Patera was another one to leave.
Yep.
And I don't blame him.
I don't either.
Look at this place.
Well, you said, Quinn, I mean, he gets the win with a superplex, by the way.
Which is a good finisher, by the way. That,
it was.
That actually looked good.
Looked good. You said, Quinn, and I think you're right, if he hadn't gone to prison in 85, or whenever it was, 86, yeah, when he got convicted, yeah, he would have been a star.
Oh, yeah. Without question, he would have been. He would have regained the Intercontinental title.
You think so?
Yes, he would have been huge. He would have been a mega heel. What, he would have been a great foil to the Macho Man, even. Imagine,
really,
those
you
two
think
fight.
So? Yeah. Yeah, that would have been good. I don't think that ever happened.
I mean, he's got it all as far as the character stuff is concerned. He may not be the best in the ring.
No, but he wasn't bad.
But he's not bad.
Right.
And I just think he's huge. He's very
big.
He's
impressive,
a big
looking
guy. Yeah.
Yep. And he had charisma.
Yeah. Just a great character.
I don't know what the hell happened to him after prison.
Yeah. I mean,
he looked like,
well, it
shit.
Seems like he was punished almost, right? Like, that's what I always felt.
No, they
what,
brought him back and it was a big feud, remember, against Bobby Heenan?
Yeah, but to me, the punishment was what they made him look like. Because they told... They
like Richard Simmons.
Why did they not let him bleach blonde his hair again?
Maybe he didn't want to.
Really? That was his signature.
It's not good for your hair.
Whatever.
Anyway, so that
like
is...
a lady.
That's the last match of the show. We cut back to Mean Gene, and Patera wanders, and he actually has a beard. He looks like David Schultz.
He looks cool.
He does look cool.
Like, he just looks like a badass.
Bleach blonde hair with a dark beard.
Awesome.
He looks kind of cool.
Is it like NWO Hogan?
He calls out Hulk Hogan, actually, about this, yeah, you know, whole St. Louis thing, and then Gene's just like, oh, we have to go.
Yeah. And you just put on the bottom of the notes, absolutely horrid show.
Yeah, this was horrid. I'm
now,
sorry.
Also,
this is bad.
There was one comment that I've been holding back.
Go for it.
That I realized just now while we were reviewing this.
Yeah.
Now, do you remember I said about that curtain in the back in the taping area?
Yes, I do.
And you know how the show's been on since 1960 or whatever?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure this taping area is that same area where they show Vern selling the Ovaltine or whatever in black and white in the AWA DVD.
Oh, God.
Would you doubt that?
I would not doubt that, Quinn, no.
That yellow curtain, it just, all of a sudden, it rang a bell, and I was like, oh my God, this is the same fucking studio,
isn't it? You're probably right. I honestly, you're probably right.
And I think that was the problem with the AWA, and I think a lot of people sum it up that way, was nothing ever changed. And
yeah,
even though they had these, look at the talent on this roster.
They had great talent.
It's great.
It was not a question of talent.
It was a question of motivation.
Yeah.
And not
booking
changing.
And decisions and production. A lot of things you can notice here because we're on the cusp of the Hulkamania era in WWF.
Yeah.
I mean, we're only 6-7 months away.
You know what hits home really hard here?
Yeah.
What Mean Gene always commented about in a lot of DVDs about why he went to WWF. And it sounds like he's old school, but it makes sense when I'm watching these programs where he's at now.
Mm-hmm.
Is he always says the technology.
Yeah, he does say
and
that.
I get what he means by that now, is that you look at the production style of these other promotions.
They were way, WWF was
that's,
way ahead.
That's what Gene is talking about.
Yep.
He's an old school guy.
Yes, he
but
is.
That's what he means.
Yep.
Like,
and I'm not saying WWF was the first. I mean, Bill Watts was ahead of the curve
I
there.
I know WCCW was
and
really
world class, yeah,
ahead of its time with that stuff.
But AWA, man, this is hard to watch. I mean, really, it was poorly produced
it
and edited.
Like, it looks like it's prepared for the 60s. It's a little brighter. It's got the brighter stuff. I'll
yes.
give them that. They did do that.
But it is behind the times already, I think, in 83.
It seems to me that it was ahead of its time for 1960 or 70 or whatever.
Sure.
But by the time you get to 80s, it looks...
It's nothing compared... If you remember, folks, in episode 11, we reviewed Championship Wrestling from 78.
Yeah, and even though that's in a janitor's closet...
And 5 years earlier than this,
yeah,
that show, way ahead in terms
the
of production.
The way it's produced is
absolutely
way better.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Much tighter, cleaner, more
and
succinct
that,
product.
And you know what? I don't want to crap on AWA because I can see why people have their memories. They got a lot of characters.
Absolutely. No. Of course.
Yeah, and I could see how even maybe... 5 years earlier, this promotion might have been vibrant.
Yeah.
but not right here where everyone's getting ready to leave.
This looks like a terrible show. Yeah. I don't know anything about the context around it, and I'm not going to pretend to.
No.
You know, I don't know about this period
of
time.
It's an interesting show. I'll say that, too.
It was an interesting slice of wrestling history.
Yeah,
but
to
I
see what was actually happening.
Right, and I can't say I thought it was good, though, and I'm doing that with no bias.
No,
I mean,
no, not
I just
all.
Can't say I thought it was good. It was hard to watch.
And I'm usually the one more open. You know that, like, as far as to, like, other brands.
Yeah, you're more forgiving than I am with that kind of stuff.
And I didn't think this was the worst show in the world.
No, I didn't either, but it was hard to watch.
Yeah. I'm still going to say it wasn't as bad as Action Zone from 95. Yeah, I know you...
It's a toss-up for me.
I thought that was just pitiful, but this is the second
worst. This is pretty damn bad.
Yeah.
Overall, though, I can see why the AWA started to take a dip, like you said, Quinn, with people just being uninspired.
Yeah, everyone.
It's easy to see it.
Across the board, every star on the roster looks uninspired. Even Bobby the Brain, he's never uninspired.
Yeah, even he was uninspired. But you know who is inspired? We are, Quinn.
Yeah.
And we're going to continue, folks, to bring you great retro wrestling memories and discussions and content as we move along here into 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget, Scott Keith will be joining us this Thursday for our Royal Rumble special.
Oh, I will be in my glory.
That's going to be a time. I cannot wait for that. Folks, I want to remind you to check us out on the Twitter. Maybe Ruben Vasquez, you can let us know.
Yeah.
Maybe some facts that we didn't pick up on. Maybe some things
some
we're not aware of.
AWA.
Yeah, recommend something for us to review. If we can, we will.
Yeah.
Find us on the Twitter at OVP Podcast. You can email us at OVPPodcast@gmail.com. That is OVPPodcast@gmail.com. Quinn, we've got the website, OVPPodcast.com, right?
Yep. We got OVP Podcast. We're on iTunes.
I'd love it,
Stitcher,
folks.
And all that stuff.
If you're listening, whether you're on Place to Be or just on regular B,
yeah.
Leave us a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate that.
Yes, please, please.
Colt Cabana, we're coming for you.
We're coming for you, brother.
Folks, so long. Have a good rest of your Monday. Have a great week. We'll see you a few days early this Thursday with Scott Keith.
See you later.
See ya.
All right, fans, you've just seen exciting action featuring high flyer Greg Gagne. I want to bring in Greg's father, Vern Gagne, former World's Heavyweight Champ. Vern, a lot going on in the horse business, so to speak. And since we're in St. Louis, something happening very close.
Well, Gene, I just got to refer here to Greg. I thought he had an outstanding match here with Adonis. Other ideas of becoming a football player when he came out of college, but wrestling really was in his blood, and that's where he lied. He forsook football, a chance to play with the Atlanta Falcons.
Give me a break.
I'm into the pro football. I'm very, very proud of that fact. I just wanted to mention that.
All right.
Yes, I am into the quarter horse business, shall we say, and as my hobby also. And I do have a great, great stallion.
Now, that's at Cuba, Missouri?
At Cuba, Missouri, with my good trainer and good friend, Jody Gallion.
What a goose!
And his beautiful wife and the horses out there. And we got a stallion that we think is one of the top quarter horse stallions in America today. So anybody that's interested in having quarter horses bred, Jody Gallion in Cuba, Missouri is a man to see.
Will you stop?